All week this week, Brother Tony and I fellowship just a little briefly Wednesday, and asked me about to take the service today, and I said, Brother, I've actually got something I've been kind of thinking on, and I've been already working on this, and I said, but you know, from day to day that can change. You don't know what's going to happen. You know what's on fire for today and tomorrow's menu might be something different. And, so shortly after that, I kept thinking, I'm going to go to that. And every time I go to it, it's like I steal candy from a baby or something. I was like, well, that's not the way I'm supposed to go. And so I said, Lord, which way do you want me to go? And I start looking, and it's like, you don't hear anything. And no problem. The Lord will come through. He always does.
Yeah.
And you've got 3 more days to go, so no problem. 2 days to go, no problem. The Lord's going to come. 1 day, 30 minutes, you know. Going all the way down, and you know, right before we're getting ready to leave, it's, oh, this is what we're going to do. So we'll just put some scriptures down. And I've got a great program on with my tablet and everything. Is you can save your notes. If you save it on a certain deal, it'll be on your phone, your tablet, everything. Well, I was doing my studying on my computer, my laptop, and I forgot one valuable thing you're supposed to do. Save it so you can open it with your tablet. So I brought my tablet, and I was ready to go, and I got here, and I was like, I'm in trouble. But you know what? I think the Lord will do that a lot of times because He knows I'm stubborn enough. I'd probably go with my notes if I had it here. But you know what? I'm going to trust in the Lord this morning.
Yeah.
Because I know what I've been thinking on. I know what's on my heart.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is the congregation that operates the gift. That's exactly right. You know, many a times I've been on the car lot and the Spirit of the Lord come down and we have church. And I didn't prepare for those things. It's because they were hungry and the gift was on the scene at the right time.
Amen.
And God comes on the scene. Amen?
That's right.
So if you are hungry in your heart, you're going through things in life, you know what struggles you're going through, let's let the discerner come down. And he's going to get right in your tater patch. Amen?
Amen.
That's a wonderful thing. Sometimes, I remember one time, I'm just trying to take the nervousness out of my stomach talking just a little bit. I remember one time I was praying during the week, and it was before Louisiana camp. And it's where you got about 500 young people get together and worship the Lord. And I was a youth leader at the time, and I was praying to the Lord and worshiping. I said, oh God, I said, I ask you, let the preaching of the word I'm going to get right in my tater patch. God, I want you to make it so clear, there is no way I can misunderstand. This is for me. And I got really serious before God. And a brother by the name of Ron Spencer got up there. If you've never met the brother, he is a fireball. And he don't hold back. Well, I was sitting in the back of the auditorium halfway mid-through, and this brother got to preaching. And he really on fire for God. And he was really getting in the tater patch. And he kept on going, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's for me. And he says, and he stopped for a second. He said, you know, I don't think we're getting through. And he said, let's just see if the Lord will get right in your tater patch. And he started preaching. He went all the way down through the aisles, walking by people, and stuck his finger about this far from my forehead. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty clear. I'll try not to do that this morning. But I tell you what, that's just it's a real privilege to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And you know, I believe it's a joy to serve the Lord. It truly is. I'm telling you, I've enjoyed a lot of things in this life. There is nothing like the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and turn into scriptures. My wife has a scripture, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6.
Amen.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Amen.
For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you so much for your presence among us this morning, O God. And Lord, I thank you because I know you're among us, Lord, because I brought you with me. Lord, they brought you. And the Word of God says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. God, I'm asking you, you'll walk the aisles this morning. You'll touch every heart, Lord. May you let every person this morning, Lord, gain ground today, Father. May they be closer to you when they leave than when they were before they come. Lord, I'm asking you, help me take the nervousness away. Give me a sound mind this morning, O God. And let me be sensitive to thy spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. One more scripture in Psalms 119, verses 9 through 16. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of my mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respects unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. There's victory and power in meditating on the word of God. Can you say amen?
Amen? That's right.
When you meditate in the law, it makes you where you know what to do in every situation. And in a football field, as we've got a lot of young people here, and I really want to reach out to the young people today. So I want y'all to just, this is for you, amen? Just praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
You know, in a football game, that's something a lot of the young people can familiarize with. Everyone has got a position in the game. And you know, a lot of times people that make mistakes in a football game is they don't understand the game. Have you ever noticed in your life you could be really good at something if you just knew what in the world was going on? If you're chopping wood, you just need to know how to chop the wood. I mean, what's the right way to do it? Or if you need to clear up a property, if Brother Tony was to tell Brother Ben, he said, Ben, I want you to clear this property out, and I want you to put the brush in one place, and I want you to put the logs in another place. Ben's got a strong back. He's got a strong work ethic. He can do those things. But you know what? If he don't clearly understand what needs to be done, it don't matter how strong his back is or how strong his work ethic is. If he don't know what to do, he's going to be scratching his head out there.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to get done. You know, but when he understands the game, he says, okay, the branches are going here, the logs are going here, I've got a song in my heart, whistling a tune, and he can get busy. And you know, if you ever notice in what you're doing, you got to get in beat with what you're doing.
Yes.
You got to get in beat. If you're lifting weights, young people, you got to get in beat. Like, one, oh yeah, two, oh yeah. Come on, brothers, you know what I'm talking about. Say amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Here we go. We got a couple of them there. You got to get in rhythm with it in whatever you're doing. If you're riding a skateboard, you need to be in rhythm with that. If you ain't got no rhythm trying to be on a skateboard, you're going to fall on your face every time. You got to know when to move to the left, when to move to the right. You got to be in rhythm with it. You know, it's the same thing with dancing. If you're dancing with your wife and you're going and you'll be stepping all over her toes or she'll be stepping on yours, you got to be in a rhythm. You got to be in one unit, one person leading, one person following. And when you do that, you've got harmony. In music, you've got to have the same thing. You've got to have rhythm. You can have everyone else in tune with everything. You have one person like myself singing out in the congregation, it'll throw everything off. They'll be trying to, I remember one time we were in a service, everyone was clapping their hands, and I got to feeling so good in my heart, I wanted to clap hands too. I started clapping hands, and I threw everybody off. I remember Sister Grace Miller looked back at me and says, "What are you doing?" I'm trying to praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise, to the Lord, is what it says. But you know what? You got to get in rhythm in what you're doing. And no matter what you're doing, the more you get on rhythm, the more you get on beat, the more ground you're going to gain. Amen? And what causes you to be in rhythm and to be in those things is you are in sync with everybody else. And you know what? When you're in sync with everybody else, you've got harmony. And that's what the devil wants to take away from you every day. He wants to take away that joy of salvation from you. Amen? He wants to take that love away from you. He wants to bring a discouragement unto you. Right. You know, that's something the Spirit of the Lord has really dealt with me on, is nail that discouragement the devil tries to get on you. Right. You take a person that's discouraged and say they don't sing too good, like myself, and you know, and they want to sing, but there's a discouragement that comes on them. Who is it that does that? Is it the Lord discouraging you? It's the devil, brother. You know what? What is it that causes you whenever you're on the, if you're on the football team and you're going and you got that opponent in front of you and you're fixing to just lay him right over, and he wants to spit out all those words or grit his teeth and look real mean? You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to discourage you. Because when you're discouraged, you're not going to give your all. But I'm telling you what brings discouragement? It's uncertainty. It's whenever you start to doubt yourself. Whenever you start to clap hands, you start to tell it, well, wait a minute, maybe I want to get off beat. A lot of times when you're clapping hands, I've found in myself, I'll be clapping on beat just fine. And then all of a sudden, I'll start thinking, I'm doing pretty good. And then I'll start looking around, and then I'll start looking for mistakes in myself. Oh, wait a moment. And next thing I know, I'm so far off beat, I may as well quit clapping my hands. Anybody ever feel that way? But you know what? We need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. In that football team, whenever you're going through, every person in that team has got a place to play. Not everybody's the quarterback. Not everybody's the right tackle. Not everybody's the right receiver. Everybody's got a position to play on that football team. And you know, in doing those things, what you got to do, you got to guard that ball, brothers and sisters. And that's something we got to do. We got to guard the ball. We got the Holy Ghost here this morning. Let's guard the ball, amen. Let's don't let the devil take this service from us. You get what God wants from you in this service, amen.
That's right.
I'm preaching to you this morning on planted by the waters. Whenever you take a tree that's planted by the waters, that thing's going to bear fruit. It's going to have all kinds of life in it. And you know what? That's the most pleasant thing you'll ever see for me, is to see a tree with fruit on it.
Yes.
You see something that's got all kinds of fruit. And he may be an ugly looking tree, but he's got fruit. But yet at the same time, you can see another tree. It's a pretty tree, but there ain't a fruit one on it. And he'll never produce.
Right.
He's all pretty. He's all groomed up. He looks better. He can't produce nothing. You know, and that's the way a lot of these, I'm talking to the young people. You know, that's the way a lot of schools are. They say, you know what, if I had better jerseys, if we had a better stadium, if we had a better football field, then we'd really be a player. Then we'd really do it. That don't mean nothing.
That's right.
I'd rather have a worn out jersey, worn out shoes, worn out helmet, and win football games.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what, in the church, you know, say, if we had a bigger church, if we had bigger this, we had a bigger that, if we had all these things, then we would really produce. I would rather have a rinky-dink old church with a preacher that can't hardly preach too good and win football games. Amen. Amen. Gain ground.
Right.
I want to gain ground. Amen. Be a fruit-bearing Christian.
Yes.
Amen. I want to see fruit. You know, what's the devil? Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, just real quickly. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 7. Let's read the scripture together. Starting in verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the word that you will none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is of the offense of the cross ceased? I would they even be cut off that trouble you. I would say the same thing for you this morning. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. And this is it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want us to know how you can overcome the lust of the flesh and how you can gain ground? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. For the flesh lusteth against the flesh, and there are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now these are the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, and emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But this is us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, I would rather be a tree that ain't no good at all and have and bear fruit. I would rather be someone that has all these things. And you know what? I may not look the prettiest, but I'm the happiest guy you'll ever see. Amen? Being as Christians, we all be the happiest people in the world. Amen? Sometimes you talk to somebody and say, God bless you, and you feel like you're going to have to pay them $5 to get them to smile.
Right.
Say, God bless you. Oh, God bless you. We got something to be happy about. Amen? Joy. The devil wants to take that joy away from you so bad, saints. We ought to be the most joyful people in the world. You know what? I'm the richest guy you'll ever talk to. And definitely it's a bank account, I promise you that. You look at that and you'll laugh at me. But you know what makes me the richest person in the world? I got a God that loves me.
Yes.
And He meets every single need I have need of. If I get a bill that comes in, I ain't even got a bill. God's got a bill. He's got to provide that thing, not me. I just got to be a good steward of what He gave me. You know what? If it's sickness that comes my way, I ain't got to worry about it either. I've got a God that can heal me. You know, if I need customers to come on the lot, I had one of the guys tell me the other day, he said, Daniel, you cheat. I said, how do I cheat? He said, God always sends you customers. I said, well, get in the right position, He'll send you customers too.
Yeah.
God will provide for you. People can look around you and say, you know what? That ain't fair. I remember one time I had a job at Hickory Springs. At this job, I was loading trucks. And it was a tough job. It was really hot. It was miserable. But I tell you what, that was my sanctuary. I'd get in there early in the morning, I'd get in there at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd start singing a little song. I'd be praising the Lord in there. And I'm telling you what, I was having church, friends. I'd be in there praising the Lord, beating on the walls, and having a good old time. You know, you can praise the Lord anywhere, no matter what you're doing. You know what I was doing when I do that? I'm creating an atmosphere. And when I create that atmosphere, it'd be such a peace in there. And next thing I know, there'd be brothers from different churches that always come by to fellowship. Why? There was a presence there, and it was drawing them to me. While I was there, and I'd be working in that truck, and there was this job opening up. It was a promotion, and it was going to be a chemical pouring technician. Sounds good, though. Actually, all I was going to do is going to help them pour foam. That was my job. But the name sounded good. And everybody wanted this position because it came with a good raise. It came with all these different things. And there was a guy that was retired from the Air Force, super smart. What in the world he was working there in the first place, I'll never understand. And everyone said, he's going to get the position. He said, he's going to get that position. I said, and I prayed about it. And I was out there. I was working inside my little sanctuary, my little trailer, hot, miserable in there. But I was praising the Lord. And I was in there. I was just praising the Lord and doing my thing in there. And I was praying. I said, God, and I had a desire in my heart. And my desire was, I wanted that job. I wanted it. It was a desire of my heart. Do you think being a Christian, God gives you just what you need? Scripture says, I believe it's in Psalms 37, it says, he that delights in the Lord will give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
I was in that trailer, I was beating on the wall, I was praising God, and then I said, in my heart, I said, God, I would really like to have that job. And God spoke to me, just like I'm talking to you right now. And people can say, God don't do that no more. He does it to me all the time. He told me, he said, I'm going to give you that job. And I'm a guy on the bottom of the beanpole. There's no way I'm going to get the job. And I told everyone at break time, we're out there talking about the job. They said, oh, this guy's going to get the job. I said, I've already got it. I said, you're kidding. You got the job. I said, I sure did. They didn't. The supervisor didn't tell me that. And I mean, they all through the plant, everyone was talking. Daniel Black already got the job. Are you kidding? Are you serious? Daniel got the job? Yeah. I heard it from his own mouth. All through the plant, they said that Daniel got the job. Well, they didn't give me the job yet. God gave it to me. You know, you can speak things into existence.
Right.
You have the right attitude and you delight in the law of the Lord, God will give you something you have need of. You get desires in your heart, first of all, make sure it's according to the Word and see if God don't give them to you. I'm out there and I go back to my sanctuary and I'm loading pillows again and I'm just singing like a little bird, praising the Lord, stuffing these pillows in there. And everyone hated loading trailers, but it was okay. I was in there and next thing I knew, the supervisor come by and says, Daniel, I heard you got the job at the chemical technician. I said, yep. He said, that's funny because I'm the one that gives the job. And I don't remember giving it to you. I said, well, God did. He said, do what? I said, God gave me the job. I said, he told me this morning he's going to give me the job. He said, Daniel, you beat everything I ever seen. He went back to his office. I went back to working and doing my job. The bell goes off here a little while later. Another siren goes off and up here I'm talking to people. And they said, Daniel, they told us you didn't have that job. You were just talking. And I said, well, I said, God told me I can have that job. And Danny, he knew me well enough. He was the guy from the Air Force base. He said, now, wait a minute, Daniel. Now, this ain't fair. He said, I ain't calling on God for the job, and you are. He said, that ain't fair. He said, you and me both know you're going to have the job if God told you that. I said, well, brother, I said, I'll tell you what, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart.
That's right.
That man had degrees. He had every reason to have that job. And they guess who got the job? I got the job. Daniel Black got the job. A guy that ain't done a lick of college. He ain't done none of those things. But I had favor with God. And I'm telling you what, there's blessings, young people, having favor with God. Whenever you have favor with God, God's on your side. Amen? And you think about how it is with the Father. And you know how a father, the Scripture says, I delight thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I can't remember one time looking back when my dad was whipping me and said, Daddy, this is a good time. You ought to do this more often. I can't remember one time. I'm telling you what, I was praying. I think I see the light. You know? During the correction, I thought I was going to die. It's like, my Lord, I'm not going to live through this. But you know what? After that correction, it helped me correct my ways. And you know what? That's the way it is with serving God. My dad, the reason he would do those things is because he loved me. And he wanted me to prosper in my walk. Amen? And I want you to remember that when you come to church and sometimes the preacher gets on your toes, sometimes you think, oh man, here we go again. He's going right over these things. The reason God's doing this correction is he wants to see you fruit bearing. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to be happy. And he sees things you're not looking at. You know, because that parent, the reason your parents, you know, the devil, listen to me, young people, the devil will fight you really hard, and what he'll always do is cause you to lose confidence in your parents, in your leadership. The devil's working really hard today, very hard, against people to respect authority.
Right.
He'll fight really hard. You listen to any newspaper, anything, if you look at any of the headlines or anything, it'll be against the police officers. What is it? They don't respect authority. You know, if you go into the workplaces, people will tear down their managers, they'll tear down their supervisors, you tell them, what is it? They don't respect authority.
Right.
And you listen to a lot of sheep, wolves that come in amongst the sheep, and they'll cause divisions, and they'll start to bark against the ministry. What is it? Tearing down the ministry of not respecting authority. Okay. That's what the devil wants to fight so hard on, is respecting authority. And it would be a foolish person for somebody. Could you imagine somebody being in a ship and everyone tear down the captain and just run him down whenever they're out in the middle of the ocean? Because who are they depending on to get them through this thing?
Right.
Their captain. And they'd be working. And that's what the devil will do. He'll cause you to try to tear down the captain of the ship. In your home, it'll be your parents. At your job, it'll be your boss. At school, your teachers. Young people, you listen to me. Respect authority. Authority in its right place, the right character, is the best thing you could ever have.
Right.
Amen? Because when you respect your authority, the better you get him, the better you're going to be off. Amen? In that football field, when you're playing on the football field, and there's
I'm just going to share something with you. It ain't over. There's a saying that we used to say, and it's kind of a rude expression. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Anybody ever heard that saying? That's that saying? It ain't over till it's over. And a lot of times people try to pull the plug and say, it's over. I may as well give up. Whenever there's still time on the clock. Amen. Right. There's still time. If there's still time on that ticker, you've got time to win the game. Right? The other night we were playing, they were at a football field and they were playing on the team, and Panama was down to 32 points, and the other score was the other team was at 42 points. It's over. May as well go ahead and quit. People started literally packing up their chairs and walking off because there was only 48 seconds left on the clock. Picked up their chairs and their drink. It's getting real mad and walking off. I said, guys, it ain't over yet. We still got 48 seconds. It looks impossible. There's no way they can win this game. 48 seconds left on the game. People are starting to walk off. And as they go, there's one more kickoff. And the other team kicks off. And when they kick off, that guy catches that ball, the littlest guy on the team, and runs all the way around, and scores a touchdown and ties the game. Next thing you know, everyone's coming right back. They're saying, oh, my goodness, I was just going over here to get a drink. That's all I was in. No, you wasn't. You was mad, and you was going home mad. It ain't over until it's over. 48 seconds left on the clock, and they end up scoring a touchdown, then winning the two-point conversion, and end up winning the football game. 48 seconds. And I'm telling you what, we are looking right at rapture time, friends.
Right.
We're looking at right now, it looks like we've got 48 seconds left on the clock. We see people, there's no way we're going to win this football game. It ain't over till it's over.
Right.
There ain't going to be one hoof left behind, amen?
That's right.
We're going to win this thing.
Amen.
That's right. We're going to win this thing.
That's right.
I get excited when I think, I like winning. It don't matter what I'm doing, I like winning.
Right.
If I'm playing basketball, I want to win. Now, I've heard some people say, I don't like to win. You liar. We all like to win. Ain't that right? Amen. I don't like losing. It don't matter what it is. I like to win. I'm afraid that goes and runs right into my children. They don't like to lose either. I believe in sportsmanship, but I don't like to lose.
Yeah.
You know what? It looks like it's about over, friends, but I'm telling you what, it ain't over. What we need to do is let you young people realize it's a joy to serve the Lord. I'm telling you what, it's fun. I love serving the Lord. I love praising God. This world out there, you know, they've got all kinds of things out there that looks like fun, looks like all these different things. There ain't nothing like serving the Lord. Nothing like it, I'm telling you.
Right.
I've tried about everything you can think of, and you don't. 1 second in the presence of God blows that out of the water 100 times. You know, I'll be at work. I spend my lunch hours in my car usually. It's my sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel the Lord keeps going right back to that. I have a sanctuary. Everywhere I go, I have a sanctuary. And my car is my sanctuary during my lunch hour. What are you saying, Brother Daniel? I'm saying that is my place that I dedicate from my place with God. And He meets me there.
Yeah.
You know what? You can have a sanctuary, every one of you guys. Whether it be your bedroom. Whether it be at the kitchen table. Whether it be in the laundry room. You have a sanctuary. And it's your duty to keep that place sanctified. If I'm in the car, that is my sanctuary. I keep that thing sanctified. I mean, can you listen to rock and roll music and country music and beatbox music in your sanctuary? What would you think walking inside here and Brother Tony had some kind of country song playing or something? You think, what in the world is that guy doing?
Right.
You know why? It would grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right.
You know why he don't have that beatbox music and everything? It grieves the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk to you something about respect and authority. A lot of times you don't understand something, that the authority. Because you can look at yourself as a young person and you say, what's he talking about? It makes me feel good in my flesh and it makes me want to serve God because I feel good. That's what the reasoning of the flesh will take. But someone that's been around a little bit, according to the Word of God, they can look at you and show you what that thing will lead you to. When you're listening to country music and beatbox music and rock and roll music. The reason we look at those things is because it's not the good feelings that we're wanting to take away from you guys. It's the poison that's inside of it.
That's right.
Have you ever had a hook in your hand? When you stick a hook in your hand, that's one of the most painful things in the world. I remember we was fishing one time, he was younger, sitting on a dock, and my little brother, I'll never forget, I told him, when you go to cast, always cast to the right, because I'm on the left. What's he do? He goes to the left. Sticks that hook right in my hand, and he don't stop there. He jerks. He don't jerk once, he jerks again. And I'm in such a shock, I can't say nothing. I was like, and he's just continually jerking. And I'm thinking at any moment, I'm going to see my hand fly out in the water at any time. And finally, he looks back and says, oh, I'm sorry. Me too. I'm going to tell you what. What happened was the harder you push that hook, the deeper it goes. And you can't get it out. Every time you try to pull it out, it hurts worse and worse and worse. And I try to get that thing out, and it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the way sin is. It's just like that hook. And it starts out real small, real light. But the deeper that thing goes, the harder it goes. And that is the way country music, rock and roll music,
right,
beatbox music is. Right. At first, that hook don't feel too, it don't hurt too bad. You can't even hardly feel it. But the deeper that thing goes, the more painful it gets. And the more painful it gets, the harder it is to get it out of you. And I'm telling you what, friend, listen to me, young people. I've been there. Let's take it from a brother that's been through that pothole. That's not something you want to go down. Because when those things stick inside of you, when you get an addiction to that, it's harder to quit. That's the way sin is. Whenever you hear the ministry preach on something, and you know, it's something, and maybe you don't quite understand why. My brother didn't know why I was saying don't cast this way. He didn't know why, but I knew why. I was his older brother, right? And I was doing it because I wanted to keep his offer. I wanted to protect him because I know what's going to happen if he hurt me. I don't mean to be real laughing, but this is a young people service. I think you should be able to enjoy service, amen?
Yes.
But you know what? That's why we don't do certain things. When you have your ministry or your parents, they'll tell you you can't be on your phone this long. You have this amount of minutes. This is what you can do on doing these things. There's a reason for those things. You know why? It's a hook. One of the biggest things people are bound to today, more than anything, is your phone. They'll be so stuck on that thing. It used to drive me nuts whenever I would have one of my little cousins that was over used to come to the house. And every time you try to talk to him, the whole time, texting on that phone. And, hang on a minute. Texting on the phone. And you're sitting there for a few minutes and you're trying to have a conversation. And the whole time you're trying to talk to him, they got that phone out and texting the whole time. How many knows what I'm talking about? And you don't realize, as the young person, you're in a very important conversation. And it takes just a second, and I can send this, and I'll be able to listen. As a young person, you're looking at those things. And you don't mean to. You got your phone. It's a very important conversation. But see, your parents will tell you, you know, you guys got to get off that. Don't be on that so much. And you're sounding just annoying. You know what my brother was probably thinking when I kept telling him, you just cast over there? You know what he was thinking? He's got all the fish over there. That's why he don't want me casting over there. He's got all the fish over there, and he wants me to catch these little rinky-dink things. That's right. And a lot of times, that's the way it is with us. Whenever the parents are telling you, they say, you got to get off these things, guys. You know, you got to respect authority. Respect your parents. Having love toward them. Because you know what? When you don't respect your parents, you're breaking the harmony in the home. You don't know what a father goes through during the day whenever he has to fight spirits all day long. Fight all these things to make you a living, provide for you. Do all these things, provide for you. Mother has to work for you all day long. Doing your laundry. How would you like to do the laundry every day? I wouldn't. Picking up after you, cleaning up after you, doing all these things you don't even see. You're doing all these things. They do all these. And they're having to fight spirits all the time to keep a good atmosphere, to keep a good attitude. And then whenever they come home, and then whenever you bark against their authority, whenever you're disrespectful toward them, you know, you don't want to listen to them. It's disrespect. How many likes to be disrespected? Nobody likes to be disrespected, right? I like to be respected, and you like to be respected. But you know what? When you bark against your parents' authority, it's disrespectful. And it breaks the harmony in the home. But you know what? You think about dad. Dad's out there working, and maybe he's working at Baldor. Maybe we got a brother that works at Baldor. What does it say? Well, we got a guy that's a car salesman.
When he fights those spirits all day long, he fights all those things, love, he has to leave those things at home, the stress at home. Because the stress don't belong at home. Is that right? And he comes home, he's got to change hats. Got to take that hat off now and put on daddy hat. Then when you step in there, and if you've got as many kids as I do, they all meet you at the door and they all got a story. And they're all important. And you got to take that time to listen to them. How many of you kids like it when your parents listen to what you got to say? Amen. Could you imagine wives trying to tell your story to your husband and your husband ain't listening to you? I'm just as guilty as anybody. They'll be talking to you and explaining all these things and you think they're listening to you. And, oh yeah. And then 5 minutes later, you're going to say, what now? I'm just as guilty as anybody. Respect. Amen. A father and a husband, respect. A mother, respect. Sometimes a husband will talk to his wife about a certain thing, and you're saying all these things, and you think the thing's been settled, the agreement's been made, and then 2 days later, you're talking about the dinner coming up for Fellowship Sunday, and you're like, what Fellowship Sunday? The one we talked about? The one we agreed on, remember? Respect. It's not just the brothers, it's not just the sisters. How about the young people? Take out the trash. Pick up your dirty laundry. Pick up your dirty socks. Pick up all these things and put them where they go. Okay, oh yeah, oh yeah. And 3 days later, you've got a sock pile that tall. You've got laundry real tall. Is that respecting your parents? Is that respecting your authority? See, it's a football game. And you've got to respect one another. And everyone's got to work together in this thing. And when you respect one another, young people, when you respect your authority, you've got peace in the home. Amen? Amen. There was a couple that come in here while back in the dealership. And seeing that teenage girl was going to get a football. All right, football. Go get her a car. A new car was for her. And she was so disrespectful to her parents the whole time. And the parents were buying her a car. She's rolling her eyes at them. She was just disrespectful the whole time. And these parents bought her a new car. And she was out there looking at her car, and I was talking to the dad. And he says, man, I just don't understand, Daniel, what I'm doing wrong. He said, I bought her a car, and she's still disrespectful. I said, that's the thing. You're letting a small thing turn into a big thing. I said, whenever she first started disrespecting you like that, you should have nipped it in the bud right then. And say, listen, this ain't happening. You know, in my house, there's respect. Amen? In our home is respect. Because I like to be respected. I don't like to be disrespected. And the family don't like to be disrespected. And friends, I'm telling you what, God likes respect.
Amen.
Is that true?
Right.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right. You know, he wants you to be afraid of him the whole time, that you're afraid you're going to go to hell. It's respect. You have such a respect for the Lord. I'm not going to disrespect him like that. I'm talking this morning about being planted by the waters. And I know I've been in your tater tots for a long time. And you're saying, okay, Brother Daniel, I'll let you in. Now let's move on a little bit. I asked you earlier, who's got desires in your heart? You got desires in your heart? You got things you want to happen? You believe God will give you just what you want or what you need? God will give you what you want if your desires are right. I'm telling you what, you can live a way to where God can bless you in a way, friends, young people, to where you have a desire in your heart, God can give it to you. If you delight yourself in the Lord. Delight your heart in the Lord. Let the Word of God be your counsel. Be a leader. Don't be a tail. Anybody can be a tail. A leader can be a head. Amen. When you're a young person today, you've got temptations that you're having to fight today that I've never had to fight as a young person. You have to fight peer pressure. You have to fight depression. You have to fight the garbage you see on the billboards, garbage on the Facebooks, garbage on this, garbage on that, and you're just contaminated with it all the time.
Right.
And on top of fighting all those things, the devil will try to work on you and make you think when you go to church, it has to be just a bunch of this, thou shalt that, a bunch more rules. It ain't that way, friends.
To serve the Lord is a joy. You think I go serve? You think I go spend my lunch hour in my car because it's a burden? No, it's a joy. It's a praise. How many of you has got a sanctuary? You say, you know what? I've got a place where I praise the Lord. Absolutely. You look at some of the veterans. They say, you know what? I've got that. I've got my sanctuary where I put that before the Lord. Amen. You know what? Whenever you have that, friend, you've got God on your side. And you got God on your side, you're going to kill enemies. You're going to be able to take land. You're going to gain land. And something that, you know, as a young person and an older person, one of the things that will bog you down more than anything is not finishing anything. You start a project and you didn't finish it. You start a project, you didn't finish it. And next thing you know, you've got all these projects you've started, you ain't finished nothing. You start doing laundry, you didn't finish it. You start doing dishes, you didn't finish it. You start building on something, you didn't finish it. As a young person, you start, let's say you want an athletic program, and as far as, you know what, I'm going to lose my belly. I'm going to lose this thing. I'm going to do it. You start, but you don't finish it. It becomes a discouragement to yourself. And you know, it'll be a weight on your shoulders. You know why it's a weight on your shoulder? It's because you feel like you failed yourself. That's right. Whenever you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to gain muscle, you're trying to do all these things, I'm just talking right in your tater patch.
Right.
When you start all these things, you say, I am going to find my position in Christ. I'm going to get serious with God. I'm going to go from revival to revival, and you start and you don't finish it. You stop. It becomes a weight on your shoulders, and it becomes a discouragement to go back again. If you're going lifting weights and you're doing really well, you're seeing performance, you're seeing changes in your body, and people start telling you, boy, I'm seeing changes, and you've really lost weight. You've really changed. You're like, yeah, I have lost weight, Anna. I have started getting muscle, Anna. And you start to feel good about yourself, and then next thing you know, you just quit. And you say, what in the world happened? How did I quit? What happened? What did I go wrong? Have you ever noticed it's hard to go back to those weights again? Those weights look 10 times heavier. That spoon looks 10 times lighter with all that vanilla ice cream. And I sure am hungry. That's exactly right. These are the battles we fight as young people and older people. But you know what really starts gaining ground? You start going to some of them projects that you started and finish them. You go back to those things and say, you know what? I claimed that thing. I said, I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to get to that weight. I'm going to do it. You believe God will give that to you? I believe God will give that. That's true. You honor God with your heart. You want to get to a certain weight. I believe God will give it to you if you do it in that way. You honor God, number one. And you do your best, and you say, God, I want to claim this mountain, and I want to gain it. God will move mountains. If He can move mountains, He can move pounds. Is that right? If you want to shape yourself in a certain way, and you say, God, I want to change myself, God will move mountains for you. And the most important one, if you say, you know what, I want to find my real position in Christ, where I understand the will of God for my life. If I was to ask you, put you in a private interview right now, and I was to ask you, what are you in the will of God for your life? Are you doing what God's called you to do? How many of us are like, I don't know. I hope so. I hope I'm in the will of God. Has God called us to a day where we can hope we're in the will of God? Or are we in a position now where we can know I'm in the will of God? Sure we have. God has put us in a place now, friends, young people, to where you can know your will of God. I don't have to ask if I'm right tackle. I know I'm right tackle. You know why? Because I know what I can do. This is what I'm good at. And you got a position, friends. When you see the position that you've been called to, and you say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I have accepted the Lord in my life. Have you accepted the Lord? I know I've accepted the Lord in my life. But you know what? I don't want to go day by day just coasting through life. Here another month's gone by. I'm a Christian, but where are your fruits? Where is the fruits to prove what we're saying we are? I can say I'm saved all day long, but if my life is speaking a different story, something wrong, friends. I can say I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit, but if I'm never happy, something's wrong.
Right.
If you're going day by day and you're not happy, there's no joy in your life, you've been robbed. If you're going day by day and you're having problems with your temper, something's wrong. And I'll tell you, as a young person, I've been upset. I'm just going to help young people. We're all going to have bad days. Every one of us is going to have a bad day where you're just cranky. You don't feel good. You know why? Because you got a flesh. Every one of us. You go through a day, you just don't feel well. So it's understandable. But if time keeps going on and you're still cranky every single day, and you're biting everyone's head off every day, there's something wrong.
Right.
If someone keeps telling us, says, you know what, there's no reason in you talking like that. I'm just being real with you guys.
Right.
I'm just being real with you. They say, you know what, there's no need in you being cranky. There's no need in you acting this way. There's something wrong. And a lot of times I've found in myself, when I'm cranky, and I find myself in a prolonged time, I can look back. I can step back. You say, Brother Daniel, you're cranky sometimes for 3 or 4 days? There has been plenty of times. You go through that, and you say, what in the world is wrong? Why am I so cranky? You know what it is? I'll search within myself, and I say, God's dealing with me on something, and I'm not addressing it. And once you address that thing, whatever it is, you'll find out that peace will come right back down. The devil was trying really hard to steal away our joy, and he wants to make us cranky. He wants to make us where we're irritable. Someone can send you a text message and say, stop by the store on the way home and get some milk. Now what she's saying is, would you please stop by the store on your way home and get some milk? But because your agitated sensors are on, stop by the store on your way home and get some milk. And you'll read that and you're saying, who does she think she is talking to me in that tone? I'm working out here trying to provide and she's going to scream at me through the phone and tell me to stop by the store and get some milk. And you'll let that thing bother you all day long. You'll be so frustrated, you'll be so agitated, and you're thinking, here I am working for her. And really what she needs you to stop by and get some milk for is because she baked you a cake and she knows you like milk to go with your cake. And here, you've been agitated all day long. You've been agitated with people at work. You've been agitated with people at school, wherever you're at. How dare he say that? And here's your milk. Here's your cake. Oh, humble pie. Come on. Let something get blown out of proportion. And let that thing just agitate you to the end. And then you find out, you know what, I was wrong this whole time. Listen to me, young people. This is the way it works. A lot of times you'll find something that's blown way out of proportion through text messaging. That's where I think text messaging can be a really bad thing.
Yeah.
Text messaging, there's so many things that can be blown out of proportion. And that's something that we're trying to get to the point now where you can text somebody, but you'll never call them. You'll never talk to them. You think that there's something there? I believe so. The devil will work really hard on you because he wants to take away that where you can commune with one another and fellowship with one another. And you can talk lip to ear, not finger to finger. Where you can actually talk to one another and express your feelings one another and show your love one for another. You know what? That's what happens a lot of times as an older person and a younger person. It's real easy all day long from your spouse. You may hear from them one time that says, I love you. But you know what? I've seen in my own marriage, friends, when you take that time to make that phone call, hey, honey, pun, and you can talk to her and you can show that love one to another, that fellowship, you know what that does? It brings harmony inside that home. That's exactly right. It's whenever the husband and wife, whenever they are in harmony with one another, and there's a love between one another, they can express their burdens one to another. Many times the wives have so many burdens on their minds that they carry themselves because they need to release that to their husband. They need their husband to be ready to reciprocate and say, honey, I know what you're going through, and I'm sorry. Is that right, brothers or sisters? Mm-hmm. Amen. And I'll take that back to the young people. Young people, there's a lot of times in that same way, you'll have that burden upon you. You're carrying a lot of cares, a lot of worries, of uncertainties, when you don't have to. Whenever you've got parents, you've got a ministry, they want to talk to you about it. And you can express those things to them. You've got something you're worried about and you're insecure of yourself. And you say, you know what, I'm going through this and I honestly don't know which way to go. I've got these decisions. I've got so many changes coming in my life. So many things. I don't know what I want to be. I don't know where I want to go. I don't know what goals I have set in my life. I have all these things, and I don't know what to do about them. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. We have all these things, these concerns that we're worried about. We're so concerned by the cares of this life. And we want to carry them on ourselves and worry about them. And you bog yourself down. You can actually put restrictions on your own life that don't even have to be there. And you say, I have to stay right here. I can't go anywhere else. I have to stay right here. And you're restricted. You restrict your own self. Many people in the message, it's exactly what they've done. And shortly, you see them leave. Many of the people that leave will be the ones that were the most legalistic. Absolutely. They were the most legalistic. They said, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And you got this big pastor up here. And they bring that fence in. And he says, you can't do this, you can't do that. Bring that fence in. And next thing you know, they are right here and they expect everybody else to be in that same fence. If you don't walk exactly the way they walk, you are out of the message, you're out of the Holy Ghost. God ain't never called us to that, friends. This message has not been come to restrict you to a point where you feel like you're just absolutely, you've got it around your neck. And you can't hardly do it. I can't turn that way because I might blaspheme. How many knows what I'm talking about? Message hasn't come to where it puts such a tightening on you to where you say, you know what, it's come to where I can't do anything. Because I'm a message believer. I can't do anything. The message ain't come for that. It's being used in the wrong way. But what the message has come to show grace. And it tells you, you know what, brother, when it shows that, he says, you are a son of God. You've been called to the message. You've been called to where you don't have to worry whether you're saved or not. You can know you're saved. You don't have to worry about all these things. The message has become to bring liberty. One of the kids, the children, asked that question the other night. And it's a really good question. I think a lot of young people ask the same question themselves. What makes us right? What makes us right? Don't we all serve God? Don't we all worship the Lord? Don't we all do these things? What is it that makes us right? What is it that makes what we believe right? Is it because we praise God? We all praise God. Is it because we have a nice building? Definitely not that, is it? We have a nice building. I believe we do. A lot better. I'll take a Nicaragua. I'll show you some right buildings. What is it that makes us right? It's because God sent a prophet in this last day, friends. And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing the word of God. That faith that that prophet brought is actually what's going to give you faith for a body change. That's what makes it right. There's a prophet. There's a prophet message in this last days. Young people, that's what makes it. That's what makes it right. It ain't me. It ain't Brother Tony. It's the message. The message is what makes it right. The message is what it is. And you know what? The devil will try so hard to make it where you don't respect it anymore. Right. You don't respect authority anymore. You don't respect church anymore. I'm telling you what, if you'll come with the right attitude and you approach to God and you say, you know what, I've got desires in my heart. I want to see these things happen in my life. You can make that happen. You can make it happen. You say, how can I do that, Brother Daniel? Let me show you something. And the children of Israel, whenever they were in Egypt, they would cry out because they were in bondage. And when they cried out because of the bondage, what did God do? God sent them to deliver. And you know what? If you're going through something in your life and you're struggling, you know how you can get? You can cry out in your heart and God will send a deliverer. He'll send an evangelist by that don't know a thing what you're going through. And he'll preach to him right there and he'll break those chains by your crying out from your heart. And that's where I say at the beginning of the sermon, it's the congregation that operates the gift. You know, you've got the ability to use the ministry as your tools. Brother Tony is my tool. And he's a power tool. Ain't one of them cheap Harbor Freight ones either. It's one of them eternal glory ones. Amen? It sends the screws down tight. And that's what I want. When a minister preaches, I want to cinch it tight. I don't want no cheap stuff. I want the real thing. But you know what? Brother Tony is my tool. And that tool can sit right in that tool pouch and never use it. He can come to service. He can do everything he does, and yet he's still in the tool pouch. You know why he's not in the tool pouch? I'm not using him for me. And when the ministry, every time there's a service, that minister is your tool. It's your job as a sheep to pull him out of the tool belt and say, all right, minister, this is my needs. And you start pulling it. The scripture says you pray for your ministry that they will have a clear utterance from heaven and that they can make it manifest to you in a way that you can understand it.
Right.
You know what you're doing when you do that? Whenever you're through your week and you come to service, that's what your job is, friends. I said, remember I said about positions? This is our position. That's your job. Is you can cry out and say, God, this is what I'm going through. This is what I have need of. And then you get the tool out of the tool belt. And you put him to work. Amen? By your faith. Many times I've had service right on the car lot parking lot. What were they doing? They were grabbing the tool from the tool belt. And they were using the tool. Friends, let's use the tool. We should be the most experienced person in the world, the bride of Christ, of how to use the tool. How to use the ministry. How to use them for me. You got to reach out and claim that garment. You say, yeah, this is what I'm going through. I want victory in it. But then whenever you pray for those things, when they do cross your path, don't get mad at the man speaking it, because he's just doing what you prayed for. I could have got mad at Ron Spencer that day when he got right in my tater patch and stuck his finger in my forehead. I could have. But I just took my whip and said, God, thank you. Amen. Sometimes you're going to feel that way. And I know in my management, when I first started selling cars, you talk about stress. That manager will tighten up the ranks on me. He'll get so irritated on me and trying to tell me how to do. Here's the sales process, the road to the sale. Who in the world ever heard of a road to the sale? I've never heard of that. He was so agitated. He was squeezing me. He was tightening. And he was telling me, this is the way you go out and produce and sell a car and doing these things. And I felt like I was going through plumb misery. And I thought the guy hated me. I did. I thought he hated me. And finally I realized he didn't hate me. He was trying to show me there's a way of doing things. And when you do things the right way, you're going to get results.
Right.
If you do it the hard way, you're just going to have calluses all over and you're going to gain nothing. I'm talking about how you can get fruits, friends, as young people. I don't want to see you go through life and you're saying, you know, just going through life and you're not gaining ground. Going through life and you're not claiming, you're claiming land that's been given to you. We need to gain ground. When you gain ground in your experience, that's what's going to bring peace. That's what's going to bring victory in your life. But you got to know how to do it. You got to know how to use your tool. And I'm telling you, this is how you do it. You come to the house already prayed up. You come to the house already seeking the Lord. I've already sought the Lord all week this week. I already know what I'm going through. And God, when I come here, I want to use the tool that God gave me. I want to use the ministry for my benefit. I want to be able to say, you know what? That's where I was 3 weeks ago. That's where I was 2 weeks ago. This is where I'm at today. I'm gaining ground. Amen? We should be able to look at our experience and say, I'm gaining ground. Amen? If I'm going to Fayetteville, there's ways I can look and see if I'm gaining ground. I'm coming from Panama. I should be in Spiro for too long. And before too long, I should be in Fort Smith. I should be able to look back and say, I come from Panama. I come through Spiro. I'm in Fort Smith. I'm headed towards Fayetteville. I know where I'm going. You know how I know where I'm going? I can see where I'm at. I can see where I was. But you know what? If I'm 3 hours down the road and I'm still in Panama, something's wrong. I can look at that. I ain't gaining ground. How can I know that? Look where I'm at. Look at where the GPS or the map is saying I should be. I should be way over there and I'm way over here. Something's wrong. I need to look at myself and say, what can I do different? What am I doing wrong? I can drive 3 hours. Just because you're driving for a long time don't mean you're getting anywhere. I can drive for 4 hours. And just because I'm driving 4 hours don't mean I'm going where I need to go. Is that right?
Right.
I could drive 4 hours in Panama doing circles. It'd be a lot of circles. But you know what? I could drive for 4 hours and say, I've been serving the Lord now for 40 years. But if you ain't gaining ground, something's wrong.
Right.
You should be somewhere. This is where I'm at. I'm at Panama. I got to get to Fayetteville. I should be able to look and see where I'm going. And if I find myself in a different direction, the ministry's preaching, he's saying, you know what? These are the things you should be seeing. These are the things you should be doing. These things. And you can say, you know what? Well, I wish you quit telling me this. Get out of, go towards Fayetteville stuff. Because I know I've been traveling. I've been on the road for 4 hours now.
Right.
And ministry's looking at you and saying, look at the signs. These are the signs you should be looking at. You should have signs. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us, right? But you should be able to look around you and say, you know what? There's a sign there that says Fayetteville this way. If I'm driving very long and I ain't seeing signs, there's something wrong. We don't follow signs, but we should have signs following us. If we're a believer, there should be signs following us. If I'm really a Christian, there should be signs following me. And I believe we're all Christians. I do. I believe we're all message believers. I do. But friends, I'm telling you, this is what I'm showing you. I want to show you gain ground. You know what? If you're doing a weight program and you're ready to lose weight, there should be signs. There should be something you can look at and say, this is what I need to do differently. If it ain't working, try something else. Right. Insanity is whenever you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and you're thinking you're going to get a different result. Right. I remember seeing a guy, when I worked at Planters, he put that money in that candy machine and push a button, and he didn't get the result he wanted. He grabbed another dollar out, stuck it in there, pushed the same button, and he got the same problem. He kept doing it, and we're all sitting here watching, and this guy, his face is about as red as a cherry, and his ears all red, and everything's so agitated. And he finally hits the machine, and he said, I put the machine in this thing four different times, and it keeps giving me the same thing. You think there might be something to that? You got to do something different. You got to try something different. You know what? This ain't working. It's time to try something different. You've tried it your way. Let's try it God's way once. That's all I'm at. Give God a chance. Give God a chance to see if He can't do it. You know what? You've tried it your way. I asked you earlier, you got desires in your heart? You got things you want? I do. I've got desires I want. I've got things I want in this life. And you know what? For a long time, I tried it my way. It didn't work. I would try it my way of trying to hold my finances in a way. I tried it my way to do it and say, you know what, we're gonna put some money back, we're gonna do these things. I tried it my way, and you know what I did? I utterly failed. Every week we'd fail, just starving to death, paycheck to paycheck, trying to get by, trying to do it my way. But turn it over to God and do it God's way, you don't have to worry about it no more. God's the one that does it. You're like the little woman with Elijah. You got that pail and you reach down to get you some more stuff to make bread. It's there. It's full. It keeps refilling. I did it a different way. I had to quit trying to do it my way and say, you know what? I'm going to try something different. I'm going to give this a chance. You know, that's what I'm telling you, older people, young people, give God a chance this time. You give God a chance and say, you know what? I am struggling with these things. I do struggle with my temper. I do struggle with being irritated many times. I do struggle with biting people's head off, and I don't mean to. I don't know why I'm going that way, but I'm telling you what, it's just really on my heart this morning. I don't know why I'm agitated this way. I don't know why I keep acting this way. I don't mean to. I don't want to be a bitter person. Anybody want to be a bitter person? Nobody does. I love everybody. You love everybody, amen? But you know what? The devil will try so hard, and he'll make you, well, you're bitter sometimes. You're cranky so many times. You do these different things, and you don't want to be that way. And you've tried it yourself. You say, you know what, I'm going to quit being that way. I'm going to respect Mom. I'm going to respect Dad. I'm going to do these things. You've tried it yourself and failed. Try it God's way this morning.
Yeah.
And say, God, you know what, I need help. And I can't do this myself. I need help. At first you're thinking, you know what, it's their fault I'm cranky. But after a while you find out it's just not them that's cranky. It's this person. I'm cranky. There's a cranky situation with them. I'm cranky with these people here. Maybe it's not all their fault. Maybe it is something I'm doing. Maybe it is me. And say, God, you know what? Maybe it is me. And you pray and ask God to let you be like that tree planted by the water. And let that sweetness come down, that aroma come down in your life and bring a sweetness into your life. You believe God will give you a sweetness? Sure He will. I've been in the same shoes I'm talking about. I've been there where I find myself so cranky all the time. So cranky. So irritated. And no, not happy. There's no reason for a message believer to be unhappy. We should be the happiest people in the world. Like I say, sometimes you feel like God paying $5 to get them a smile. Yeah. The most emotion you see them out during the whole service, the whole service, you say, I'm fixing the clothes. Oh, my God. Tears start coming down. You're emotional. Praise God. That's the most because the service is about over. You know, we should be the most happiest person in the world. Why aren't we happy? If you're not happy, ask yourself. I'm not saying you're not happy, but if you aren't happy, why aren't you happy? You know, if you ain't got the joy in your life, if you're not happy, why not?
Because we have an abundance. The scripture says he'll not see us begging for bread. He won't see his righteous forsaken. He won't see, and I don't believe that's not just for natural bread. I believe that's spiritual bread as well. He won't see us begging for a little bit of happiness. I'm begging for just a little bit of joy. God, give me just a little bit of joy. No, we should be overflowing. People say, you know, that's, people come to you and say, Brother Daniel, I hate it when you leave work. They hate it. You know why they hate it? Because chaos happens. And when I come in, there'll be a peace that comes in. You know why? You carry the peace with you.
Right.
That's exactly right. Managers will be all stressed out and all these different things. Deals going crazy. They'll call me up to the desk to this day. God's my witness. They'll call me up to the desk and have me up there. And I'll start talking to them just for a few minutes in peace. There'll be a peace coming through there. And all of a sudden, everything starts going in harmony again. And they'll say with their own mouths, you know why we like to come here? Because you bring a peace. It's not me, because I'm not because I'm special, nothing about me. You say I'm on mistakes, okay, you're special, all right. You really need God. I make mistakes just like you guys do every day. It's not because of me, it's Him. He's the one that makes the difference. Don't you want to be in a place where you, not me, not Brother Tony, not Brother Branham, not Ed Biskel, not Donnie Reagan. When you go to a situation that's chaotic and peace comes to the situation. That's what we're called to because we have Him with us. He's the one that's peaceful, not me. I'm the one that makes a mistake and have to call on the peace. That's right. Every one of us. That's right.
Right.
See, that's what we're... And then whenever you do those, friends, you start seeing fruits. And when you start seeing fruits, you start getting happy. How many likes to hear a testimony where someone says a good testimony about you? Brother Branham said, absolutely. Honesty. Brother Branham said one time, he said, I like to hear when someone compliments my sermon. And this other brother said, not me. I don't like to see it all when someone compliments my sermon. Brother Branham said, well, there's only one difference between me and you. I'm honest and you're not. We all like to have compliments. I'm not talking about the sermon. I'm talking about just compliments in general. We all like compliments. You could change someone's day with your compliments. With your attitude, the way you ever had bad service at a restaurant? I'm talking bad. Really bad service. And you've had some service, but you don't even have service. Don't even come to the table. But I'm talking, you can have bad service where that waitress is in a bad mood and she's just so frustrated and just everything going. I watch people. I sit back. And if you really watch me, I'm a really watcher. And sometimes you'll be looking at me like, I'll bother on you. I watch people. I always have. And if you watch that waiter, and when you watch this, next time you're in a restaurant, you watch this and see if you don't see it. You'll see a waiter or a waitress that's really frustrated and they're having a hard time. You watch her, and you'll find out she's either having to do more work than what she's supposed to, or nobody's tipping her. You watch. You watch out there, and she'll be so frustrated, and she's so tired. She's trying to bring water and or lemonade, and she's bringing all the food and all these different things. And she's cranky. It seems like she's just so cranky the whole time. And you can sit there and say, you know what? She ain't getting no tip from me. You watch her and you'll find out 9 times out of 10, nobody's tipping her. And she gets paid $2.25 an hour plus tips. And she's doing all these things, trying to do that. And if you could look behind that bill at her home, you'll find out she's probably got 2 or 3 kids at home and she's trying to support them because the husband ran off with some other woman. And that poor woman comes here to waiting tables and she's trying to do all these tables and she's doing twice the work and nobody tips her. And the devil will get on your shoulder and put you and say, you know what? I ain't giving her no tips. She ain't giving me no service. I'm a good tipper. Everywhere I go, I tip them. Unless they don't give me absolutely no service, then I don't give them nothing. I'll give them probably a dollar or something. That's it. But it's the way we act out in public. Little things like that, friends. Whenever you're out there, you watch it. You sit next time you're at a restaurant. I want you to watch. Your little compliments to her can change her whole life that day. Say, you know what? You're doing a really good job today. I just want you to know that. I really appreciate what you're doing. You watch that, and you say that compliment. Watch that waiter or that waitress. You'll begin to see a smile come on their face. You know why? She feels appreciated. She feels appreciated. I like to feel appreciated, don't you? You know what? How many times do you ever actually just took the time and say, you know what, Mom, I want you to know I really appreciate what you do for me. It really means a lot. It means a lot. And how about the kids? Kids, how you liking their doing the yard work? And dad pops up and says, you know what, son? You've done a good job. And you brag on him in front of everybody. I watch my boys. Remember, we got people there. And I'm talking about how such hard workers they do. You'll see the shoulders kind of stick out a little bit. They do really well. They do that, and they can throw a football. They got an arm. Yeah. You know why? I am talking about their compliments. I am complimenting them. And because they do that, you think he's going to throw a wimpy throw next time? Oh, no. Daddy's been complimenting, and I want another compliment. Yeah. And he's out there, he look over and see if Dad's looking. Oh, yeah. Remember that throw you talking about, Dad? That ain't nothing. Watch this. You really throw it that time because Daddy's watching. I'm going to tell you what, God's watching us, guys.
That's right.
He's watching us. And you know what? Sometimes you may feel like you're not doing a thing. I watch the kids out there a lot of times because between preaching and sometimes working, a lot of times when I get away from work, I'm having to go in there and study. And I'd love to be out there watching the kids out there play football. I would. I'd love to. But a lot of times I got to sit there, I've got to study a little bit. I've got to study for the Lord. And the kids would be out there shooting the baskets. And they're just hitting them. Boom. 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 And they think no one's looking at them. You young people ever feel that way? You ever feel like, you know what? If Dad could have been standing at that window right then, or he'd been out here, he would have seen me make that shot. Daddy did see it. You just weren't looking at him. Many times, that's exactly how we are. We'll do something and we wonder, does God see what I'm doing? Does God see the little things I do? I'm telling you what, God sees it. Brother Brown talked about the girl waving her flag.
Yeah.
And said, you know what, that king didn't see it, but we got another king that sees it. You listen to me, young people. I'm going to talk to you about now. And your sanctuary. You take some time and you devote that to the Lord. I said, you tried it your way. You just try it God's way now. You take some time and you pray to God. Say, God, I want you to help me with my attitude. I want you to help me focus. Help me to see what your will is for my life, God, because I really want it. You be sincere, look, just like this. You be sincere before God. Say, God, you know what? I want to be sincere before you, God. I want leadership in my life. You come humbly before that. You see if God don't start leading you. You see if God don't start coming on the scene. And sometimes you'd be so frustrated. If you used to see how customers talk to salesmen, people would say always, you would think, what in the world just happened there? It's repeatedly. The way they'll talk, disrespect. I'm person's biggest thing. I don't like to be disrespected. But they'll say all these things, and they'll do it to such a point, if I was to allow it to, I could really easily make myself just be angry and say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. Just so frustrated with the way people talk to you. But you know what I do? I'll pull to the side somewhere and I'll pray and say, God, I need your help because I need some help. And you know what will happen? A little bit of peace will start coming down. That little joy will start coming down. And next thing you know, I'm not angry anymore. You want to know how you can help your temper? That's one of my biggest battles. I fought a lot of giants just like you guys have. Temper was one of my big things, guys. Young people. Temper is a hard thing to control. It's like a rattlesnake. Temper is like a rattlesnake. You try to tame a rattlesnake. You get a rattlesnake that's rattling that little rattle. Try to go over and pet him and calm him down. Say, why are you so angry? Try to pet that little thing. He's going to bite you. You can't pet a rattlesnake. That's the way temper is. Mm-hmm. Whenever someone's really angry and you try to talk to them and you're trying to pet them, you sit down and listen to me. All you're doing is taking that rattlesnake and he's striking at you and biting at you. Parents, we got to give them some space sometimes. Young people, that temper is like a rattlesnake. And when you try to control that thing by yourself, you're liable to get bit. But you know what you can do with that temper? You can ignore it. Someone comes up to you and says something to you disrespectful, and you can have that thing in your mind, and that thing is making you so mad. You're so irritated. And when you're trying to think about it, all you're doing is trying to hold that rattlesnake. It's going to make you madder and madder and madder and madder. But you know what you can do about that thing? Ignore it. Ignore what they've just said to you. Whatever they did to you. Ignore it, young people. I know what it's like when you're young. I remember very well. People will be talking, gossiping, all this nonsense, talking about stuff that ain't true. And you can let that thing feed on you and eat at you. And you try to control that thing, try to hold on to that yourself. All you're going to do is make yourself madder and madder and madder. But if you can just say, God, I need your help. Help me get this thing off me and ignore it. And it'll go away. Brother Brown said the same thing about a stubborn spirit. He said when a person gets stubborn, He said, whenever you, a guy come to him and said, Brother Branham, I've got a stubborn spirit and I don't know what to do about it. I thought that was a miracle itself. A stubborn person saying they're stubborn.
Yeah.
This guy come to him and said, you know what? I am stubborn. I have a stubborn spirit. I don't know what to do about it. Brother Branham said, it's just like a rattlesnake. He said, you try to agitate it with a stick, it'll just get madder and madder. He said, ignore it and it'll go away. Scripture says, resist the devil steadfast and he'll flee from you. And he'll always leave a way of escape. Through temptations, there'll be temptations. Every one of us fights temptations every time. And when those temptations come, that's all they are. They're just hooks. They're fishing. Satan fishing for you. And he'll fish for you, and he'll put this song out there that's a really good song. This is a good song. I can listen to this one. It's a hook.
Right.
Temptations all the way out there. And you listen to me now. Through every temptation you go through, the Lord will always give you a way of escape. Every time. He'll never allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. Many people will say all the time, God will never put more on you than you bear. I've never found that in the scriptures. But he says, I'll never tempt you more than you can bear. God wants you to have more than you can bear many times, because then you have to depend on him. If you could bear it yourself, then you wouldn't need God. But he'll never allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. So next time you go through life, and you know what you find in yourself, you're going through this life, and this somehow or another, you fell to this temptation, and you're caught up in this hook. And this hook's caught up inside, and you're like, how in the world did I get here? You got to remember that every time there's one of those, you can repent and get back in line. But every time there goes, listen to me, guys, God will leave a way of escape for you before you ever got there. If you'll just surrender your heart to the Lord, if you'll humble yourself before God, God will give you he'll give you a peace and a joy that will help you overcome that temptation. So always remember that when you're fighting your battle. Bless you guys, good to have you with us. God will always leave a way of escape for you. When you're going through this life and you know what, you find yourself, you can learn from things. I used to have a cat, my grandma did rather, and if you pet it just right, that thing will just purr and be a good old cat, but if you rub him the wrong way, he'd scratch you good every time. And you can get scratched and you can look at that, and that same cat, you can pet him again and you rub him the same way, he's going to scratch you again. You know, after so many times, probably something I can do different, ain't it?
Right.
Quit rubbing that way. Every time you rub it, you're going to get scratched. And that's the same way it is with the devil. When you're trying to hold your life, and you know, you find yourself, every time I go this way, I end up getting scratched. Every time I go this way, I get a hook in my hand. Every time I go this way, I'm bound all over again. Friend, God will leave a way of escape. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've got myself to a place now. This time I say young people, so I'm like, oh boy, here we go again. I say these things to you guys because I love you. And I want to see you to prosper. And it's something that when you chew on it, I want you to think about it later on. I want you to think about it during the week. And I want you to think about, am I planted by the waters? Am I planted by the waters? Because when you're planted by the waters, you're going to have fruit. You can have that joy, that peace, that love. If you come to a point where you don't have that peace and that joy, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? There's something I can do different. We all want blessings from God, right? Who wants a blessing from God? Sure we do. Every one of us do. But you can't bless something God's cursed, right? And God can't bless sin. I want God to bless you on my finances. But you know the only way God can bless your finances is if you conduct it in a way that he can bless it. You know, I want God to bless my strength in my body. God ain't going to bless that if you're using it for the wrong thing. You use your temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God ain't going to bless them. He can't curse. God gave us clear ordinances in the Bible. There's some things that don't need a revelation from the Scriptures. Is that right? Some things are very clear. And I know I've gotten on a lot of things. I'm trying to, you ever get into, Tony, you ever get into a place, you're like, how in the world do I get out of this? Don't want to end it like that. But you know what? That's what I'm trying to show you is, as a brother that's been your way, I've been through those battles. You know, I know what it's like to see that you're wanting to gain ground in your life, and you find that you gain ground two steps forward, and even went up to the front and had a minister pray for you one time. And he prayed for you, and the next thing you know, you're right back in the same old thing again. I've been there. I've had a time whenever a minister preached one time, and God was dealing with me the whole service. But I was afraid to go up front because I was in a position, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I was a youth leader, and I was fighting a lot of things. One of the big things I was fighting was really depression. It was really fighting me really hard.
And how wouldn't dare want to let anybody know I'm fighting depression? It was embarrassing. Well, I'll tell you what, depression's real. And it is on the land, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Devil is fighting so hard to put depression. And you go to the doctor's office many times, they'll say, signs of depression. You start reading all those signs. And kind of like you'll go there and they'll have signs of AIDS. You're like, you'll have this, and you'll have chills. And you start looking at all the symptoms. You're like, oh my goodness, I've got all those. Maybe I ought to get tested, you know. You look at all the symptoms. But depression is real. And you won't know, you won't really understand a battle until you really fight it. That's the truth. And you know what? The devil will put that depression on you where you just feel like you can't be happy anymore. You can't have that peace like you want. You want to be happy so bad. In your heart, you want to be happy, but you was to ask yourself, why am I not happy? And I don't know why. You're depressed. I want to tell you what, there's deliverance from depression. Is that right? There's deliverance in depression. God can take that depression right away from you and give you that peace again, that love again. No, I want to ask yourself, you be honest with your heart, be honest with yourself and God. Am I as happy? Have I been happy like I should be happy? Be honest before God, because God can make you happy again. You know, if I've got a peace in my heart, peace in my love, in my home, is that there anymore? Because God can give you that peace again. Am I bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Am I showing temperance? God can give you that temperance again. Am I happy with what I see God doing in my life? Because you don't have to stay that way. God can move it. Let's just all stand right now. I want you to be honest before God. Honest before Him. And you just think, you know what? I see these things in my life. I see the things. And some of it I don't really like. Because, you know, sometimes when someone tells you the truth, sometimes it hurts. Is that right? Sometimes we like to be patted on the back. We all do. But there's also sometimes you got to tell you something. You know what? You need to do something different. Don't get mad at me. Let's just give God a chance. And let's say, God, you know what? I want to give you a chance this morning. I want to give you a chance to change my life. I want to give you a chance to change my heart. And give you a chance to change me on the inside. And make me, God, what you want me to be. Brother Tony sung that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. Let's let that be our prayer this morning. And say, God, I want to be planted by the waters this morning. I want to be planted by the waters. I want to start bearing fruit in my life. We should never have to tell people we're Christian. Our lives should speak that we're Christian. That's right. The loudest sermon that will ever be preached is the life we live, guys. You know what? Let's just bow our heads right now. You know yourself if the Lord has dealt with your heart this morning. And you know yourself if He's gotten your tater patch this morning. I don't. You know, it's real easy for a person to, the devil, because I've seen the devil do it on me. And if a minister says a certain thing, and you say, you know the reason he said that? Because he talked to somebody. He knows what I'm going through. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what's going on in your life. Give God a chance this morning. God's got your tater patch on these things. You give God a chance this morning. And say, you know what? God, you spoke to my heart today, and I'm going to accept that. And God, I'm giving you a chance this morning. With all head, every head bowed. I want you to raise your hand. You say, you know what? I have been fighting that. I've been battling that. And I'm giving God a chance this morning. God sees your hands going up, every head bowed. God sees your hands. And I'm telling you what, you're defying gravity this morning. And you're saying, you know what, I've been fighting these things. I'm giving God a chance this morning. I'm going to let Him change me. Let's pray right now, every head bowed. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God. And Lord, You've seen the hands that have gone up, Lord, and just being honest and saying, God, I've really been fighting these things, Lord. And God, I know the devil's trying so hard to go through this life. And Lord, he's trying to take away the joy from people's hearts, Lord. Take away the happiness in their homes, God. And take away the respect for authority, God. And Lord, sometimes I know it's whenever, sometimes you may feel like you've been rebuked, God. And Lord, you know in my heart I would never, never want to do that, oh God. I never want to hurt anybody, Lord. Lord, I'm just speaking what I really feel You laid on my heart this morning, God. And Lord, the hands that have come up this morning, they say, you know what, I'm fighting these things. I'm battling these things. Lord, I'm asking You to come and give them that peace again, Lord. Give them that love in their heart again one more time, Lord. Give them that joy in their heart one more time again, Lord Jesus. Touch these precious young people, Lord. And You know the battles they fight, God. Lord, You know the world that they have to go against, Lord, out there. And I'm asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that You'll touch every heart here this morning. Lord God, from the front, from the pulpit to the back door, touch every father, every mother, every daughter, every son, oh God, and help us to respect one another. Lord, as the Scripture says, let us not bite and devour one another, Lord, but let there be a peace in the homes, Lord, of harmony, Lord, a respect, oh God. Lord, I'm asking you, you'll have mercy upon us this morning, Lord. You know the needs, God. I ask you to touch every heart right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Ask me, musicians, to come. Tell you what, God, God's merciful if you just let Him. But He is a gentleman. He won't force Himself on anybody. Talked to a guy at work yesterday. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, there was a time when Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, there was a guy, he was on a firing squad. I said, that guy, during a firing squad, he got scared. And during this battle, and then he got afraid, under pressure, and he ran away and went AWOL. And they caught him, and he was tried him, and he was going to die by firing squad the very next day. And that his friend of his knew he was a good Christian man. He was a good guy. And that guy run. He said, the only thing I can do for this man is get a pardon from the president. And he run as fast as he could and got to the president, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln sitting there reading his Bible. And he told Abraham Lincoln, he said, Abraham Lincoln, sir, he said, I've got a friend. He's a good Christian man. He's a good man. He said, and if you was to talk to him, you would know how good of a man this man really is. And said that he was under pressure in the firing squad. I said, and he took off running because he got scared. And then he's going to die from firing squad for going AWOL this morning. Abraham Lincoln, sir, I'm asking you, please, give this man a pardon. Abraham Lincoln reached out a simple piece of paper and said, I, Abraham Lincoln, pardon this man. Gave him a little piece of paper from the President of the United States. He ran to that man as fast as he could in that prison wall. And told him, he says, you're free, you're free. And the guy says, oh, get away from me. You're making fun of me. He said, no, I'm telling you, you're free. I've got a pardon. He said, really? You got a pardon from it? Yeah, I got a pardon. It's from the president. And he says, well, where's it at? And he showed him a little piece of paper. He says, y'all get away from me. You're mocking me. Because it was so simple. He said, there's no way that's from the president. Because if it was from the president, it'd be official. There'd be people here. There'd be a nice letter. He wouldn't accept it. He said, get out of here. You're making fun of me. He says, no, it's a pardon. Listen to me. You're free. You're free. All you got to do is take this. He says, get out of here. Guards, get this guy out of here. And the guards come, got him out. That man died in the firing squad that morning. He labored for him. He labored as hard as he could and got to the president and said, God, I need a pardon. God, I need a pardon. Give me a pardon. Abraham Lincoln, please give me a pardon. Bring this pardon to him because it was so simple that God rejected it. And friends, I'm telling you something. Something I told this guy sitting at the dealership. I said many times, God will give you something and it's so simple because you don't come the way you think it should come, you reject it. They tried that in the federal courts and they said a pardon is only a pardon if it's accepted as a pardon. I'm telling you what, friends, we have a pardon this morning and it's simple. I'll tell you that it's simple, but it's straight from the president.
That's
right. All you got to do is accept it. Look, tell me, let's go sing a song. Thank you.
Speaking right at me, I would never do that to hurt any of you. I spoke really from my heart. I spend my prayers during my lunch hours. I spend it in my car, and I pray, and I meditate, and God will lay things on my heart, and that's really what I speak from. So if you hear something spoken, don't let the devil tell you. You know what reason he said it? Because someone told him about that. That's a lie. The Lord knows it's the truth in my heart. And in the vehicle, I pray, and I meditate. I spoke exactly what God laid on my heart. And so if God laid it on my heart and He spoke it to you, just give it enough respect and say, you know what, I'm going to give this respect and say, maybe this is you, God. I'm going to give you the respect of it. And if I'm really struggling in these areas, I'm giving you a chance today. Amen? That's all He wants, guys. Give God a chance. Because that's all He needs is once. You give Him the ball one time. Is that right, brother? You give the star player the ball one time, He'll make the touchdown. But you got to get the ball to Him. Don't try to hold it yourself. Give it to Him this morning. Sing a song one more time, Brother Tony.
He made me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Joy unspeakable, oh God. Restore the joy of her salvation, oh God. Lord Jesus, may you give her a song in her heart, a smile on her face, oh God. In Jesus' holy name.
Restore. Oh,
Mindful of you. You know, you don't have to come to an altar. You don't have to come and have anyone lay hands on you. You can receive it right where you're at. Sometimes it just helps have someone pray with you, put their hands on you. And so we just want you to know that if anyone has needed prayer, the altar is certainly open to you. And I want to really encourage you. Give God a chance. Give God a chance, because He's the one that's right. It's not us.
Right.
It's Him that's right.
That's exactly right.
If you look at the children of Israel all the way down, it wasn't the children of Israel that was right. It was God that was right. And when they lost the Ark of the Covenant, they lost the battles. Is that right? Mm-hmm. When they got the Ark of the Covenant back in its position right where it was supposed to be, it brought joy back to the camp. Mm-hmm. You know, David tried it a different way. He got a cart and let them try to do it that other way, because they said, you know, I'm going to try it my way. It didn't work. When they went back to doing it God's way, victory came back to the camp. I want victory in my camp.
That's
amen.
Right.
Victory.
Exactly right.
And there's a provided way for that.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and just sing Digital 21. Step up and serve to you.
But you know that God knows where you're at. Amen. He knows exactly what you're going through. Because He made you. Right? He made you. He knows exactly what's inside, what the emotions are that's running through your head right now. When Satan pours something out on you that you just can't hardly, you don't know which way to turn, God knows exactly what you're up against. And He promised, God promised, that He would be a comforter. And you know that He can be a comforter like nobody else, right? In your time of trial and your time of need, He can comfort you. He can lead you and He can guide you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I seen this the other day, and it's true. Somebody posted it, and it's true. You can't live with the devil and expect God to pay your rent.
Right.
Not going to work.
That's right.
See, and that is true. And we live in an hour where these things are tough. See, God's got a plan of redemption, but Satan's got a plan to work against that plan of redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever God wants to pour out today upon His people to make them overcomers, Satan's got a plan against that. Right? Now, many of us feel like in a day gone by that we were closer to God.
Yeah.
That at some point in our life, we were doing things that was pleasing to God, but we'd all have to say right now, if we'd be honest, we'd say, well, you know what? I wish I was like I was then.
Amen.
Something's happened, and I'm not walking with Him the way I used to walk. And as Brother Daniel, as he mentioned early on in the service, reading out of Galatians, you did run well. Many of us ran well at some point in our life with God. But, and as Galatians said, you did run well, but what does hinder you? What did hinder you? What has caused you to not be running so well today? And there's a lot of answers to that, but I'll let you answer it by asking you a question. What have you been feeding on?
Mm-hmm.
What have you been spending your time doing? If you want to learn how to play football and be really good at it, you're not going to go to a soccer player
right.
and ask him his opinion or his, you know what I'm saying? If you want to get well, you're not going to go to a police officer and ask him. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you got something you need to overcome in your life, you're not going to be going to Facebook or going to this, or going to that. You're going to need to go to your Creator.
Right.
And as Brother Daniel said, we've heard this so many times, that the definition of insanity is that you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. If you're getting the same results, you're getting the same thing happening over and over and over, and it's taking you further and further and further from God, maybe you need to do something different. Maybe you need to go to the author of the book. Maybe you need to go to the Creator of who you are. Go to Him. And you know the scripture, God, I don't care what this generation said, God is right. And His word is coming to pass just like He said. And this world is gonna see exactly what he said. I don't care what they say. And so God has an answer for you. He has an answer for you. And the scripture says this: in the day that you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you'll find me. And I talked to a man who was my best friend growing up through high school. And now he's in and out of prison. His life is a mess. And it can only be God that ever straightened it out. Because he sat right back here, right behind the building, right back out here one night. And he said, I'm in this condition because of his own decision. He said he was in that condition because of his own decision. Because I've watched him year after year turn his back on God. And there's one thing he never did do. He never did really surrender to God. Oh, he went to the altar at church a different time and he prayed. But he wasn't ever sincere. Because the scripture said, the day that you seek me with all your heart,
yeah. That's
the day you find me. So let me encourage you this afternoon. If you've never really surrendered to God, do it now.
Yeah.
God has an answer for you. Like he said, you don't have to come to the altar or whatever, but what you do have to do is you do have to seek him with all your heart. And you've got to make him promises, right? If you want someone that's a friend in the natural to really have confidence in you, you've got to bring forth actions that will convince that person you're serious.
Yes.
You've got to put down some earnest money if you expect them people to believe you're going to come back and buy the house.
Yeah.
They require it, see? We've got to have some earnest that we place down before God. He knows. But see, it's not him that we're trying to convince. It's ourselves. And sometimes our own release of the things that hinder us is actually what we do. We can release ourselves by the putting the earnest money down before God. So whatever you're going through today, just as we get ready to close, whatever it is, you put some earnest money down for God. You be serious with all your heart. And I can tell you, you will see God move before the week is out. You'll see him move like you've never seen before.
Yes.
But the measure that you place it before him with confidence and sincerity, that I'll surrender my life to him, the measure you do that, that's the measure you'll see back. And if you hold back from God, he'll hold back.
That's right.
But if you'll lay it all out there, brother, sister, you'll see God move mountains for you, and you'll see him do it fast, because we're living in a late hour, and he's going to have to do some things really quick.
Yeah.
And we believe he will. Amen? I believe that. So let's pray just one more time as we get ready to go. Lord Jesus, as we come through this service this morning, Lord, seeing and knowing what was upon your heart and how that you brought it forth to us, Lord, to know that it was speaking to our hearts, and absolutely, as Brother Daniel said, that he was plowing in our tater patch, Lord. We realize that we each have battles, and certainly these things he spoke on this morning, Lord, that's exactly where we're at, what we're facing. And we live in an hour, Lord, where, as I said a few weeks ago, that halfway is not going to cut it anymore. We have to come clean.
Yes.
Perfectly surrendered to you now, Lord. And I pray, God, that as we get ready to leave this morning, that these things that have been said, Lord, they just stay with your people. Lord, that you'll bless them with victories in their life. Lord, you look down in your heart right now, in their hearts. And if they've chosen, Lord, to surrender to you, ground of their life that they've never surrendered before, I know, Lord, you'll meet them there. And if they take a step toward you, God, you'll take a great big step toward them. And you'll always show them that you'll reciprocate when they look to you. But Lord, also if they don't look to you and they continue to go to the world and look to the world and look to things that can't provide, as though they would be able to give answers, Lord, we realize that they're tying your hands. But I pray, God, this morning that your people would be liberated today.
Yes, Father.
Lord, that they'd be able to go forth in your strength and surrender all to you. Lord, that they would be victorious in all these battles they face.
Friend,
we trust you, Lord. We know that you'll grant these things to them. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word this day. Pray, God, that you would be with those that are missing, that are on vacation, that you give them a wonderful time of vacation. Bring them back safely, Lord. Those that aren't here this morning, Lord, for whatever the need is, we pray, God, that you'd be with them, meet the needs. Lord, they're our family. We love them, and we just pray, God, that you bring us all back together, Lord. And we know that even if we can't meet again in this life, Lord, that you will bring us together in the next life. Lord, so we thank you. Know that everything in you, Lord, is yea and amen. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just welcome our visitors.
Amen.
And to come back and feel at home. If you have a special need, we have a ministry here. But Daniel and myself will be certainly more than happy to do whatever we can to help you. And so, as Brother Daniel said earlier in the service, you have a ministry here that's a tool that you can reach to help you in getting accomplished what you need done in your spiritual walk. It's what God has put gifts of the ministry and the church for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, amen. God bless you. And we'll see you, I guess, next Sunday morning at 10:30. Amen. Let's sing a dismissal song. We're going to sing More of You. I trust that as we go today that you'll sing this in your heart. Tell it to the Lord. Then you want more of Him. Amen. More of You.
Just for